Thanks, everyone. I hope you're all doing well today. I've got to say, when you're staring at a group of people wearing masks, frowns look very, very similar to smiles. So I'm going to choose to think the best of you, that you're all smiling back at me. But it really is a joy and a privilege to be able to come and speak to you today. And as Matt mentioned, I get the joy of being able to conclude our Holy Spirit series, which I completely concur with Matt, I think has been really fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. If there's any sessions that you've missed, I'd really encourage you to track back and catch up on them, because you've missed some absolute corkers. Just in case I just remember I haven't started my timer, just so I know where I'm going. There we go. Just in case you've missed any, we started off exploring what it actually means to live a life in the Spirit. That was fantastic. And then we explored what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, what does that actually mean for us? And then we picked up on the gifts of the Spirit. So what are the unique gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us to bless us and bless others in our walk with Jesus? And then Jeff brilliantly shared last week, as has been already mentioned, about the fruits of the Spirit. So if we're filled with the Spirit, what does that mean? What can we expect to see in our lives, the fruit that comes from walking with the Spirit? And then today, I'm going to be speaking a message on confidence in the Spirit, a really crucial one. And really, this is a message that talks about who we are as Christians. It's about our identity in God. And I really feel strongly that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today to kind of bring us in line with how God sees us, and to bring us in line with the identity that we have in Jesus. And as I look around the room, I see some wonderful people, and it reminds me of just how different we all are in many ways. One of the ways in which we're different, we all have different levels of kind of outward confidence, don't we, as people? Sometimes we're people that seem very confident and very outgoing. Sometimes people are a bit more quiet and a bit more reserved. But actually, I think there are some major questions in life that it doesn't really matter how confident you are. There are moments where that confidence wanes a little bit, or ebbs and flows, and it's often those sort of massive questions in life. I'm talking about questions like, does God really, genuinely love me completely? Has he genuinely forgiven me of all of my sins, all the things that I've done wrong in the past, all the things that I'm going to do wrong in the future? Has he genuinely, completely forgiven me? And ultimately, the big question that I think, whether you're a Christian or not, everyone's thought about, what happens when I reach the end of my time on earth? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me when it's time for me to leave this earth? And these are all questions that I think, I was going to say, if you're a Christian, but if you're a human, there have been moments where we've had levels of high confidence about what the answer is to that question, and perhaps times where that confidence is a little bit lower. But actually, these are massive questions, aren't they? I mean, if we don't feel confident in the answers to those questions, it's bound to affect how effective we're going to be to living our lives for Jesus. So it's really important that we have confidence in the answers to those questions. But I guess the question that we're going to explore today is, how do you gain confidence in terms of the answers to those questions? I think to answer that, we have to ask ourselves, well, how does God see me? Because actually, they're all questions about him, aren't they? Has God really forgiven me? Does God really love me? What's going to happen to me at the end of my life? They're all questions that only he can answer. So we have to look at what he says about us. What does he say our identity is, to be able to answer that question and gain that confidence? Really, we're asking, who am I to God? And so those questions like, how do you know what's going to happen to you when it's your time to go and leave this earth? How does God love me? What's your confidence? I would argue that the answer in terms of how we get that confidence is, surprisingly, given the subject of this series, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us and gives us that confidence in knowing the answers to those questions. As we've talked about previously, many times before, actually, there's a genuine battle going on around us and in our minds all the time. So many competing voices that tell us who we are, that try and answer that question for us, that try and tell us what our identity is. If you're thinking about how the world works, I don't know about you, but it feels to me at the moment that the sort of big cultural thing in the world is telling us that, you know, the answer is inside you. You know, you can do it. You're strong enough. You know, all you need is a bit of self-confidence. You know, L'Oreal would say, you know, you're worth it. You can do it. You can do it. You've got this. Believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you can find the strength to be able to do anything. Or maybe it's the opposite. You know, other messages that we get from those kind of small voices in our head that tell us, actually, no, you're not worth it. You're rubbish. You can't do this. You know, you're really rubbish. You're naff, as Mike would say. That's Mike's word. Naff. You're really naff. You know, you can't do this. You're pathetic. You're a failure. Just look as you left your house today and you snapped at your children and now you're coming into church. Who do you think you are coming here? No, you shouldn't be here. You're not good enough. And yet all of those things, whether they're kind of finding strength inside you, in yourself, or whether it's someone telling you you can't do it, they're completely at odds with what the Bible says God thinks about you, what your identity is in him. Because in the Bible, we're referred to as children of God, which is completely different, isn't it? And I think we have to ask ourselves, and this is a question we have to ask ourselves regularly, at regular points in our life, what is the loudest voice in our hearts right now? Is it those little tiny little voices telling you that you're no good? Is it those voices telling you that you can solve it all yourself? You don't need anybody else. You just need to reach inside you and find your inner strength. Or is it the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, no, what you are is a loved child of God? And so if you've ever struggled to accept God's unconditional love or acceptance of his forgiveness towards us, and I'd suspect that if you're a Christian here for any length of time, then you've experienced that at some point, then I believe really passionately that there's a message here for you today. And so I want to encourage you to really dig in. I've got 2 points, that's all. And actually, what I'm about to share isn't particularly new or revelatory. I haven't found a new book in the Bible that gives us loads of new answers. It's stuff that if you've been a Christian, you'll be familiar with. But I really believe that the Lord just wants to remind us of this today. And that as I'm speaking, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will be speaking directly into our hearts and just giving us a chance to kind of realign, to find those little areas where we've just got a bit out of whack, where we're facing slightly the wrong way, and just redefine and realign our relationship with him so that our identity is purely focused on how he sees us. So today, my 2 points are pretty straightforward. I believe that the Holy Spirit allows us to have confidence for today, and he also allows us to have confidence for eternity. So confidence for today and confidence for eternity. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 8, it's where we're going to be mainly today. We're also going to jump into Ephesians later, but we'll be mainly in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. I'm going to read it out for us now. So Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness, and our spirit, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Okay, you can join me in prayer before we kick off. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you here now. I'm just so convinced, Lord, that you wanna share this incredible truth with us today, because it's transformative. It really is. If we understand how you see us, it unlocks so much in us. It completely transforms us. It gives us incredible freedom. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and speak this truth into our hearts now. Tell us how you see us, Lord, not how we see ourselves, not how the world sees us. Would you speak into our hearts and reveal our true identity in you? Lord, we commit the words that I'm about to speak into your hands, Lord. Amen. So first of all, guys, confidence for today. I believe that the Holy Spirit in our hearts gives us confidence for today. And actually, when the passage I just read, it kicks off straight away talking about our identity, doesn't it? In verse 14 and 15, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons." So straight away, we're talking about our identity. We've heard in previous weeks that when you become a Christian, the Bible says something really significant happens. It's not just a decision that you make. You decide, right, I'm going to follow Jesus, and now I'm just going to crack on and use my best efforts to follow him. But actually what happens is when you make that choice and you become a Christian, it says, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and empowers us to live a life that without him we wouldn't actually be capable of living ourselves. So Paul's saying here that if you're a Christian, then you're a son of God. And you're a son of God that has the Holy Spirit inside you. That's who you are. That's our identity if you're a Christian. You're a son of God or a daughter of God with the Holy Spirit living inside us. And so he's encouraging us here, don't fall back into fear. You know, what he's saying is don't start questioning that identity. Don't start questioning that. Don't start being worried about the fear of performance, you know, that you're not up to scratch, that you're not meeting the required standard. Don't fall back into the fear of thinking that you're not good enough or that in some way you're letting God down, because that's not our true identity. That's not how God sees us. He sees us as being a son or a daughter of God. And later in that verse, it describes that we've received the spirit of adoption as sons. So it takes it even further. So what's saying there is if the Holy Spirit's in you, and we believe that if you're a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. There is no such thing as a Christian that doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, you're a son of God. And what does that mean to be a son of God? It means you've been permanently adopted into his family. And that means that you get all the benefits that would come from being a son or daughter of God, being fully adopted into his family. So it's so important that we get this, guys, because it shapes completely how we interact with God. It completely shapes how we see ourselves in him. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of a story. There's a famous poet called Lem Sisay. I don't know if many of you will have heard of him, but he's kind of a big deal in poetry circles right now. And he's led a really extraordinary life, and in many ways, a lot of tragedy and difficulty in his life. When he was born in this country, but to his mother was Ethiopian, and she'd just come over here to study. And I think it's safe to say it was a bit of a surprise, his arrival. And she was finding things really hard. She was studying over here as a single parent. And so when he was 2 months old, she asked if the state could step in and help out and put him into care for a short amount of time while she finished her studies, which happened. But unfortunately, when he was placed with a family, the family were told, look, consider this an adoption. It's not officially an adoption, but consider it. As far as anyone's concerned, this is permanent. And indeed, that's what happened. So from the age of 2 months through to the age of 12, he lived with this family. And as far as he was concerned, his parents were the two people that were looking after him. Until he was, as I say, about 12 years old, and he'd started to get into a little bit of trouble. Nothing super, super crazy, but you know, he'd been caught smoking and things like that. And one day, he was just told by his parents, "Right, that's it. You're gone. You're moving to a care home." And that was it. He was sent off, and never actually saw them again until decades later. And obviously, that's an incredibly tragic, harrowing story, but it was brought back to my mind, and I feel like God's reminding us that sometimes that can be our fear that something similar is going to happen with us in terms of our relationship with God. That yes, we've been brought into this family, but actually if we don't do the right thing, if we take the wrong step, if we start to do the wrong thing, then that can be cancelled, that can be annulled. You can be thrown out of the family of God. But actually, if you look at the verses here, it doesn't give us that interpretation. It doesn't give us that option. It says that we have full rights as sons and daughters of God. In verse 15, it says, "But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." That's an incredible thing, that through the Holy Spirit, we get to cry, Abba, Father. And if that phrase rings any bells, it's probably because it's the same phrase that Jesus used when he was praying to the Father. And when he was in Gethsemane and praying and asking God to take the cup of suffering away from him, it was those tender words that he used. And Abba, Father, it's an incredibly intimate, tender way of referring to your Father. And the incredible thing is here, it says that we get to approach the Father in exactly the same way that Jesus gets to approach the Father. You know, that's an unconditional adoption. It's an incredible right that can't be taken away from us. Such a beautiful level of intimacy. And yet, if you're anything like me, there are moments in life where we can struggle to genuinely embrace that identity, where the voice of the world or the enemy or our former self feels like the voice is louder in our heads than the Spirit of God. And that's why it's so important that we get this right. It's so important that we keep revisiting and keep reevaluating and asking ourselves, how do I see myself? Is there any wrong thinking in me here? Holy Spirit, come and help me to address that. You know, often, if a child would come up to us and say, "Oh, you know, I had a horrible day today. You know, I was in the playground. Somebody was saying some really mean things about me, and it really upset me." You know, what would we say to them? We would say, No. Don't listen to that. That's not true. Those things they're saying aren't true. That's not your real identity. Let me tell you what you are really. I love you, and you are absolutely loved and adored. Ignore that." And yet so often, we can talk the talk, but not necessarily walk the walk. We're choosing to allow those things and those words and those thoughts to affect us and affect how we see God. And so we're called to set our mind on things above. And ultimately, if we ever question his commitment to us, you know, ultimately he chose to die for us. You know, that's the level of commitment that Jesus went through to ensure that we have that perfect relationship with him, that we are fully adopted as sons and daughters. And so Paul's encouraging us here, don't fall back into fear. He's saying that the Holy Spirit in our hearts isn't a spirit of slavery. You know, it's not a spirit that's supposed to make us feel sort of weighed down and super guilty. It's a spirit of love, a spirit of acceptance, a spirit of forgiveness, and a spirit of peace. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives should give us the confidence to be able to answer the question, does God love me? Am I forgiven? With a resounding and unequivocal yes, 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 because I know that I'm a fully adopted son or daughter of God. And so I don't know, but maybe there have been moments in your life, maybe even right now, maybe you're sitting here right now feeling, "Oh, I know it, I know the theory, but I don't feel it." Where the idea of saying those words, Abba, Father, being able to approach God with that level of intimacy feels challenging. It feels like the words stick in your throat. You know, maybe you're thinking, "Oh, I've made so many mistakes. I've done so many things wrong. I've not prayed for a while. I've not done enough." And so that question, does God really love me? Am I really forgiven? In these moments, you don't have confidence in the answer. But we see in these verses that the Holy Spirit is testifying to you today, saying, "Yes, you can. You can call me Father. Your identity as a son or a daughter of God is absolutely complete. It's permanent. It's a full adoption." And so if you do still find yourself doubting that sonship, that daughtership in God, there's nothing we can do really to add. There's nothing to be added. There's nothing else to be gained. You can't earn that feeling. What we have to do is invite the Holy Spirit to come and reveal that true identity. And so if that resonates at all, we're going to have a chance to do that at the end. We're going to pray for that at the end. So that's my first point. So we've seen that having the Holy Spirit in our lives gives us confidence for today. But as well as that, he also offers the incredible confidence for eternity. So in verses 16 and 17, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." I love that phrase, that we're heirs of God. And so what does it mean by heir? So if you're an heir, then you're normally a son or a daughter. And it means that when the father passes away, you inherit all of the wealth that belongs to the father. And the passage here is telling us that's what it's like for us. We're an heir of God. So we stand to inherit something incredible from God. But instead of it being money or property or a treasured heirloom or something like that, what we get is far greater and more precious. So if you'd like to turn with me, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, to Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 14. Don't worry if you haven't. I'll read it out here. But it tells us more about that incredible inheritance in Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. It says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." And then this is the critical bit. It says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So that promised inheritance that is being hinted at here is eternity. It's the fact that when our time does come and we go to meet Jesus, we're going to spend eternity with him. That's the incredible inheritance that is due for us. And I love that phrase that we just read, that inheritance is sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what it's saying there is that when you first heard the gospel, when you first became a Christian and made that decision to follow Jesus, you were sealed in that moment with the Holy Spirit. You may not have felt it, may not have been a physical thing that happened, but actually in that moment, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which acts as a kind of a guarantee, acts as a sort of a down payment or a deposit on what is going to happen in the future. So a seal in biblical times, it would have been a really sort of pertinent image for this. It's basically kind of like a signature. So if there was a legal document that was being created, whereas we might sort of sign our name at the bottom of the contract, they would use a seal that says, okay, that's it. It's agreed. It's done. The deal is done. It is permanent. It can't be changed. And that's the image that we have for our inheritance, that it's being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it's absolutely nothing anybody can do to take it away from us. And it also has that verse there, doesn't it? It talks about it being a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So there's a suggestion there that the inheritance is not quite here fully yet. We haven't obviously completely walked into that, but it is absolutely guaranteed and it is coming. It's a bit like we're trying to move house at the moment, so I've got a lot of house analogies and metaphors flooding my brain, but it did remind me of the moment where you put in an offer on a house, and then it comes to the point where you've got to exchange contracts. And that's the bit where you have to sign it. There's a legal document, and you say, yep, okay, I'm buying this house. And at that point, you don't just sort of sign the contract and collect the keys. There's usually a little gap there between exchanging the contracts and actually it coming through to completion and you walking in to your new home. And it's a bit like that with us. You know, the deal has been done. There's no backing out. The deposit has been paid and the Holy Spirit has acted as the seal on our lives. It's kind of almost like a branding almost. We were walking the other week through a field and there were sheep everywhere, and Ted said, why have they all got numbers all over them? It's really odd. And it's as if that's what God's done. His seal is saying, this person is mine. You know, Matt is mine. Jim is mine. Pat is mine. And actually, it's not ready yet. You're not ready to walk into that inheritance, but it is guaranteed. And so we can have absolute confidence that when that moment comes, it's not going to pass away. It means that your confidence in where you're heading is based not on how you're performing, not on how you're doing, not on how many boxes you've managed to tick this week. And are you doing a good job? Are you a good enough Christian this week to earn your inheritance? but actually your inheritance is all about your identity. It's about the fact that you are now an adopted son or a daughter of God with the seal of the Holy Spirit on you, which is a guarantee for your future inheritance. It's a bit like university. It reminded me when you apply for university, you often you have to send your application form off with your predicted grades, and they'll come back usually and say, okay, yeah, we like you, there's a place for you, but it's conditional on you achieving these certain things. So you've got to get certain marks in your exams, and if you manage to do that, then you get your place. But then occasionally, if they really, really like you, you get an unconditional offer where they say, actually, it doesn't matter what you get. It doesn't matter how you perform. It doesn't matter how many boxes you tick. We want you, and there's a place waiting for you. And in that circumstance, you don't suddenly just go. You don't get it straight away. You still have to work it out. You've still got to do your exams. You've got to do your work. And there's a degree of waiting and enduring until that moment. But your place is absolutely secure. And so going back to that question that we posed at the beginning, you know, what happens when our time on this earth is up? Well, actually, if the Holy Spirit is in your life, then there's an incredible assurance and a confidence that is offered to Christians, which says that we're going to receive an incredible eternal inheritance, that we're going to be raised to life, that we're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus, where actually there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain, where we can see Jesus glorified and spend eternity with him. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? It almost feels too good to be true, and I think that's where we can slip up sometimes. It's an inheritance that we've been promised, it's been guaranteed, but we haven't yet received it. It's a bit like, you know, the will has been written and it's been authorized, but it just hasn't been activated yet. And so if we're still struggling to believe that, if we're struggling to believe that our inheritance is absolutely guaranteed as Christians, again, what we need to do is invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak into our hearts to reveal that true identity. We need to do what Mike's been encouraging us to do regularly and put off the flesh. We've got to choose to not believe in the old ways and choose to believe who we are now as Christians, that if you're a Christian today, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That means that you're a child of God, that you've been adopted by God. You've been sealed with the guarantee of the inheritance that is to come. And so just to conclude, in verse 16 and 17 of Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." The reality of life is that life isn't easy, right? It can be hard. In fact, we're told that we should expect suffering. You know, Jesus himself, God himself, suffered. And so it makes sense that we should expect to suffer alongside him. But actually, the Bible talks about the fact that we've not been abandoned to that suffering. You know, we're not orphans. We are sons and daughters of God. And so while we endure on this earth, the Holy Spirit is with us, empowering us to be able to endure now in the knowledge that we are A, fully accepted as sons and daughters of God today, but also in the full hope of the inheritance that will come. And all of this has been made possible because Jesus died on the cross, and while doing that, he took the punishment that was due for us. But he did that not because he just wanted to forgive sin, but he did that, the point of doing that was that he wanted relationship with you. He wanted to remove all the barriers that were there because ultimately he wanted to spend eternity with us. He wanted us to be grafted in to his family, to be sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters in his family. So when we go through those hard times in life, we can have absolute full confidence that the Holy Spirit is with us now as a very present help in times of trouble, but also that one day he will testify for us that when we see him face to face, he will say, my seal is on you, you're mine, and you get to spend eternity with me. I think there's a few ways in which we can respond to this today. I'm going to ask Jeff if he can come up in a moment. We're going to sing one final song. But as I was preparing, I just felt there are a few potential ways in which we can respond. I think there may be some people out there listening to this now who really struggle with that idea of them being a fully adopted son or daughter of God. That they sort of get the theory, but they sort of struggle with that sense of confidence that they have the full weight of being a son or a daughter of God behind them. And I also just felt that there are people who have doubts about that future inheritance, that there's still nagging thoughts that come up sometimes that say, yeah, but am I really God's child? Will he really advocate for me on that day? Will I really get to spend eternity with him? And so if that's you, you can just sit quietly right now. I'm just going to pray and just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill our hearts and come and speak truth, Lord? Would you come and reveal who you are to us, Lord? Would you reveal that true identity that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we have been fully adopted without any barriers, without any caveats, without any clauses that would allow that to change. We are completely and utterly yours, Jesus. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come and just realign us, Lord, so that our identity would be in you and we would completely understand how you see us, Jesus. And it may be that if you're not a Christian here, if you're listening to this either at home or here and you're not a Christian today, I just want to also just make clear that that inheritance that we're talking about, that relationship being brought into the family of God, is available for you too. I just encourage you, whether you're at home or in the room right now, to speak to someone about that. If you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, we would certainly love to talk to you about that.